It's Q&A Tuesday, so we're going to shift gears here. Kim Stauffer with us, president of the Firearm Owners Against Crime. Kim, welcome to KDKA once again.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
You got rained on there, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Q&A Tuesday, this is all about taking questions from our callers about the issue at hand, or the topic at hand. And this would be gun rights and gun laws in Pennsylvania. We just came off the NRA convention. Were you there? I would assume that you would have been.
2 days out of the three.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. How'd that go?
It was quite the festival. It was a glorification, or I should say a complete carnival of everything related to firearms, hunting. It was quite a spectacle.
Were you surprised that the convention center decided to allow members convention goers with concealed weapons permits to carry inside a government building?
No, not at all, because the Pennsylvania preemption law says that they can't stop it.
Really?
The Constitution doesn't end at the doorway to the convention center. Actually, it wasn't the NRA that worked out that agreement. It was the Allegheny County Sportsman's League and myself.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Because we have a sports show, and we had a sports show down there, and they were going to deny that. And during the course of a conference call, we were able to convince them of the error of their ways. The fact is, the Second Amendment exists everywhere.
Yeah, but don't they prohibit firearms from places like courthouses and the city-county building, for example?
Well, the city-county building, anywhere where there's a judge or a chambers for a courtroom, they can prohibit that based on Pennsylvania law.
Okay.
There is no authority to do or conduct any type of prohibition in a government building other than that.
Okay, so that's the only, so courthouses would be off limits, but a government, let's say the DMV, would you be able to conceal carry in?
Yes.
See, these are the kinds of questions that we want answered today. Our number is 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access is another way to send your questions. You can go to our website, of course, kdkradio.com. This is your opportunity to ask questions. If you've got questions about Pennsylvania gun laws, and maybe you come from the other side, maybe you think there should be more gun laws. Maybe you are not a supporter of gun owners' rights. Maybe you don't believe the Second Amendment should exist. You can call as well. We will take your call and your question for Kim Stauffer. And you mentioned the Sportsman's League, and you're also the legislative committee chairman for that. But normally
yes.
We call you because of your affiliation with the Firearm Owners Against Crime, because when these kinds of things come up, that's what we
yes.
generally talk about. Because the Second Amendment is not really about hunting. I don't think.
No, there's nothing in the Second Amendment that says that, nor the right where it derived from, which was the Pennsylvania Bill of Rights, which is Article 1, Section 21. The Second Amendment wasn't the first right to be developed along those lines. It was actually came from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's the originator of the Bill of Rights.
Oh, so Pennsylvania, one of the original colonies,
right,
when the United States was formed, and so the Second Amendment then was modeled on something that we had
yes,
as a
Article
state.
1, Section
wow.
21.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, this is why we have you here. All right, our number 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank Instant Access. You can send a message that way by going to our website, kdkradio.com. Let's start with Bob on the Parkway. Bob, you're on KDKA.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. How many other states actually, can we carry our guns in other states legally?
Great question.
Yes, we can. Right now, there's 25 states where you can legally carry that have a reciprocity agreement in other states with Pennsylvania or recognize unilaterally Pennsylvania permits. There is a bill in the United States Congress by Representative Cliff Stearns from Florida, which would require all states to recognize concealed carry licenses, just like they do for driver's licenses and medical licenses, what have you. Which is a more appropriate way because the Constitution provides what they call a full faith and credit clause, which says they're supposed to recognize other states' compacts. And that's something we would entertain as a worthwhile concept. But right now you can.
Okay, so 23 other states.
25.
I'm sorry?
25.
I thought you said 23. Okay, 25 other states recognize the concealed carry permit issued by the state of Pennsylvania.
That's correct.
By local sheriff's offices, actually. Okay, so do they include West Virginia, Ohio?
Ohio does not. West Virginia does. Virginia does. New York, that's another world. New Jersey, that's another world from New York. They just don't.
So if I'm in my car and I travel over the state line into Ohio and I've got a gun and a loaded weapon in my car, I'm technically in violation of the law there.
That's correct.
And I could be arrested and put in jail.
It's how ludicrous it really is. It's like your rights stop at the border with a certain state, where you actually have to stop your car, get out on the Pennsylvania side, unload the firearm, make sure that the ammunition and firearm are in separate locked containers, and then drive through the state, and then you get to Michigan, and then you're a happy camper.
Michigan recognizes our right to carry again.
As does Indiana. Okay. And then you get to Illinois, and that's...
All right. Well, yeah, that's another problem. Bob, that was an excellent question. Thank you. And that's okay, here's a question from Dollar Bank Instant Access. Bill wants to know, are you allowed to carry, and I'm assuming when he says carry, I'm assuming that he means with a concealed weapons permit, in a place that sells liquor?
Yes. Yes, you are. Although I would not encourage you to drink because you're governed still under the intoxication laws, and you can also have your permit removed from you or confiscated if you do something that impacts what they call character and reputation, which is a pretty broad-based term that they use in a concealed carry law.
So if you're carrying a gun and you're drinking, you don't even have to touch the gun. There is a way that you could end up losing your permit.
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay.
It's far more restrictive than most people really recognize until they get involved in the process.
Okay. Tom in Bethel Park, let's go to him on KDKA. Hi.
Hey. Question I have is I have a carry permit, and the organization I belong to is just a couple guys that don't want nothing to do with guns, so they're forbidden us to carry firearms in our meeting nights, fire calls to the firehouse, anything to do with the fire volunteer fire department. They're trying to stop us. Can they do that?
It all depends on whether or not this is a private property. If it's not private property, if it's owned by the government in any way, shape, or form, then they really don't have any control over that.
Is it private property?
It's private property because it's actually owned by the township, but it was government-funded monies to buy the property.
Well, wait a minute. If it's government, if it's owned by the township, then that's a government-owned property. Then it's not
that's
private
government-owned. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not private property. Okay. So the answer is that he can do that. That's okay.
Yes.
All right. Is that too loud for you? There is a volume control there. We can help. Okay. I can hear your headphones squeaking a little bit. Don't want to blow your eardrums out with those. Let's go to Dave and Beaver on KDKA on Q&A Tuesday. Dave? Hello, Dave?
Hello?
Yes, it's your turn.
Hey. He made a comment about being able to carry into a DMV.
Well, that was a question I asked, yes.
Okay. Well, I was in the DMV about 2 months ago. My girlfriend was taking her permit test, and I was escorted out by one of the guys, and they asked me to take my gun out because you are not allowed to have it in the DMV because of it being something with the federal gun funded.
Federal gun what? What did you say?
Federal funded by, like, the DMVs, like our local DMV. They had to, you know, they called the,
Well, how did they know you even had a gun with you?
Because when I sat down, the holster, one of the guns showed.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say it fell out. Okay, what about that?
Well, there's a lot of misconceptions out there on the part of people in different agencies that they can create their own regulations or statutes. They have to follow state law. The welfare department also has their own little internal policies. That doesn't mean that it's legal. It just means that you have to stand up for your rights and let others know and work with others, because we have a host of legislators who would like to know that this is occurring. They don't have the authority to do that. And if you were asked to leave, I suggest you get the person's name and quote the preemption law and make them realize that those policies are in conflict with state law.
Yeah, but if you're on the, discretion, better part of valor, so they say, right? So in a situation like that, is it wise to get into an altercation, an argument about this issue Or is it better to say, okay, fine, you're wrong, but I'll follow what you say for the time being? Which would be better to do?
Well, I wouldn't get into an argument. What I would do is become an informed individual. You can do that by going to our websites, getting the law, or emailing me through the website, and I'll give you the pertinent facts.
And we'll give you the website address in a few moments, so let you get a pen and paper so you can write it down.
But at the same time, you have a right to ask to talk to the supervisor, whoever made that determination, and get their information. Recognizing also that when you talk to them, it's a stupid idea to have you go out, be messing with a firearm, put it in your vehicle where it could be stolen and
right.
actually be a conduit to crime.
Right, right. So that's a good point, too. But I mean, we went through this, a couple of years ago during the campaign when some guys were carrying guns in open carry at Obama campaign appearances.
Correct.
And there was a big question about, well, how is this allowed? How is this permitted? And the Secret Service actually did not have a problem with it because the person was not near the candidate. He was not doing anything that, you know, was illegal, was not threatening, et cetera, so that was perfectly fine.
That's correct. However, the gentleman's name was Jack Noble, and he was from Beaver County. And he was open carrying, and he was doing it legally. He wasn't in a secure area, but it was because of a phobia, whether it be at the DMV mm-hmm. or down there in Beaver County outside. And it was actually an informant for the police that actually complained, seeking to get some additional leverage with the police.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, the Secret Service had no problem with this. And actually, Mr. Noble had some security experience with executive security, and he was well known as a person that was connected to law enforcement. So he was not only aware of the law enforcement end of this, but he was carrying legally. But they put him through the ringer. They cost him thousands of dollars in legal fees for him to be told, yep, you were working within the law, and there was no recriminations on the part of the persons that
yeah.
went overboard. We have two websites. The one is Firearms Owners Against Crime. That's www.foac-pac.org. And the other one is Allegheny County Sportsman's League at www.acslpa.org.
Okay, so I'm going to go back over those. Okay, so it's foac-pac.org. And the Sportsman's League website is acslpa.org.
Correct.
So obviously they're acronyms for the initials of the letter of the organizations. All right, it is Q&A Tuesday. We're taking your calls and your questions, and you can also use Dollar Bank Instant Access if you wish. And here's one from Loretta. Please ask him, if a law enforcement officer from the state of Maryland is lawfully permitted to carry his service revolver in the state of Pennsylvania?
A law enforcement officer from Maryland can carry it if he follows the guidelines of the training requirements under H.R. 218, which says that he has to be properly trained in his state. I'm not sure there's a difference here between retired and active duty. Active duty law enforcement is generally given the opportunity to carry a firearm without any special permit. If they're retired, they have to have that special training with the firearm as per the federal law.
Okay. Here is Rob in New Kensington on KDKA.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, I have a carry permit for the state of Pennsylvania. I've lived here for 30 years. The first 24 years of my life, I grew up in upstate New York. I have a carry permit from there that is dated 1974. There is no expiration date on it.
Wow.
Would it still be good?
That's a good question.
Okay,
you have what's known in the gun circles as or firearms rights circles as a holy document. A New York State concealed carry permit is rarer than hen's teeth. So
they don't issue those anymore?
It's discretionary.
Really?
It's whoever you know. You can possibly get one, and then they're limited in certain counties at sometimes. The carry permit in upstate New York is not valid in New York City. So,
crazy patchwork quilt of laws in New York. But if he's got one from 1974 and there's no expiration date, then it must be good.
Technically speaking,
he could make that argument. But then again, if he takes it into New York City, then he's in trouble
right.
automatically.
And then if you get a new officer out from the academy and he sees it from 1974 and he decides to arrest you and put you in jail and make the courts decide, then you're a test case.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's a complicated answer to that question, but an interesting question. Jack in McKeesport on KDKA on Q&A Tuesday.
Mike, great show.
Thanks.
Mike, I had heard there are some changes to the castle law. If so, what are those changes, and how will that impact the homeowner?
There were two packages of changes to that. One previously that was fairly significant. There was one made this year that was basically technical changes. Not sure which one, which change you're talking about.
Can you help us out there, Jack, more specifically?
Yeah, I was referencing the change where somebody were to enter your home, say in the middle of the night, that you had the right to shoot them. Or I think the present law is you have to feel threatened or endangered in some way.
You don't have any duty to retreat in your own home. That wasn't changed in any of the package of amendments. Castle Doctrine will fix certain sections of that law. For instance, currently under Pennsylvania law, you have a duty to retreat within the home because they say you cannot be forced from your home in current law. So
Wait a minute. You said a duty to retreat or a duty... wait a minute. I'm confused here.
Okay.
If you're in your home and some bad guy comes in, what are you allowed to do?
Right now.
Yes, right now.
The good old boy network would say you could shoot him. But the way the technical wording of current law is, it says a homeowner cannot be forced from their home.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't, by inference, that means you can be forced within your home to retreat room to room.
Mm-hmm.
Castle Doctrine now, the new one, will fix that.
But has that been passed?
Not yet. Been passed in the House and the Senate.
But if your life is in danger, if you feel your life is in danger in your home,
right,
and you have the means to defend yourself, you can do so.
Correct.
You do not need. Do you need to retreat?
Under current law, technically speaking, a DA could make that choice.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, and then the Castle Doctrine expansion that we've talked about a couple of times would actually extend the castle beyond the home.
Right.
Okay, but that's an additional change that is proposed.
That's correct.
Okay.
And it would also encompass your car, would be part of the Castle Doctrine law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they would add the no duty to retreat wherever you have a legal right to be, which is an important extension.
Mm-hmm.
We've surveyed a lot of candidates under Firearms Owners Against Crime this year, a number of them law enforcement officers. Every single one of them has said this expansion needs to be addressed and needs to be passed into law. They see this every day on the streets.
Yeah. I think most Pennsylvanians agree that those kinds of things should be covered under this Castle Doctrine and not just in your home. And the duty to retreat should not be written into that so that you can end up being in trouble simply for defending yourself. Mark and Katanning up next on KDKA.
Hello, Mike. Great show.
Thanks.
Hi, Mr. Stoff. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good, sir. How are you doing?
Perfect. Question. I've had a carry permit all my life. And there was a point in time when you actually had to have, like, a hunting and fishing permit if you wanted to carry that same weapon with you. Is that still true? Because there was a few times I got hassled by game and fish wardens. They said, well, we want to know who has what out here. You know, what's up with that? I thought one superseded the other.
I think what you're talking about, you're making a reference to the old sportsman's firearms permit, possibly. And that required a hunting or fishing license for you to carry a handgun while you were out hunting, and it covered you within that. But a license to carry a concealed firearm is much broader, and it takes the place of the sportsman's firearms permit, and it allows you to carry no matter what.
Well, okay, a sportsman's firearms permit, that it's a hunting license, right, essentially? And you can.
It was issued by the treasurer. It was a special permit.
In addition to a hunting license.
Right. That's correct.
So that you could carry a sidearm?
Correct. Openly.
Okay. Openly. Openly only.
Right.
Right. Okay. Okay. But if you had a hunting license, you carry a rifle or a shotgun.
That's correct.
And you're fine. But you can't carry unless you had that permit, you could not carry a sidearm openly.
That's correct. Unless you had that special sportsman's firearms permit.
But the concealed permit would supersede all of that.
That's correct.
Okay.
And it also allows you to carry now a self-defense handgun when you're hunting or fishing and concealed, which it didn't used to. That used to be a violation no matter what. If you're spotlighting deer or whatever, that used to be illegal. Now it's not.
Even if you had a concealed permit.
That's correct.
Oh, my God. See, this is why these laws are just unbelievably complex.
Yes.
And sometimes they just don't make any sense. And they're almost contradictory.
There were thousands of Pennsylvanians cited for this, and nobody ever followed up on this until the Allegheny County Sportsmen's League and FOAC did.
Well, thanks for that. Barb on the south side on KDKA.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Great.
Quick question. I have a lunch riding on this. I think that in Texas and Michigan, blind people can legally hunt. I'm wondering, can you...
Wait a minute. Did I hear that right?
Let me finish. And then in Kansas, you can blind people can conceal. I'm wondering, can you do that in Pennsylvania?
Okay, wait a minute. What states can you can blind people
in Texas,
hunt?
In Michigan, you can hunt and you're legally blind.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What do you think about this? I'm just wondering,
have you ever
allowed to carry concealed weapons or hunt?
Okay, well, hold on a second here. Have you ever heard this before?
Yes, I have. Pennsylvania also, a blind person can hunt or carry a concealed firearm.
Wait a minute. Come on, Kim. How can a blind person be allowed to carry a gun and go hunting or a concealed weapons permit?
Well, you have a lot of veterans out there who have lost their eyesight, and the threshold for sight impairment does not mean that you're completely blind either. As a matter of fact, I can take you to one of my sportsmen's clubs that I belong to, and I can show you a blind person sitting in a wheelchair will outshoot just about anybody you know in trap or skeet shooting.
So he's not completely blind then?
Not completely blind.
Okay. So she wins the lunch then.
Yes, she does.
Oh wow, I had no idea. Because I'm sitting here thinking, okay, if you're blind, how the hell do you know what you're shooting at?
Well, here's another more seedy aspect of this, if you don't mind. One of the things the Pennsylvania instant check system does is discriminate against people with impaired vision like that when they go to buy a gun. Representative Bill Courts has a piece of legislation introduced to fix that. There have been a number of gun dealers complain to us about people that have lost your sight due to work-related injuries or being in time of war as a veteran, and they can't buy a gun because they say you have to be able to fill out this form without any assistance.
Oh.
The National Instant Check System recognizes that you can get assistance, and it's become a real problem. So we're fixing that as well.
Okay. Kim Stauffer with us, Firearm Owners Against Crime and the Allegheny County Sportsman's League. And we'll give you those websites once again. If you're just joining us, there are two websites that can give you a lot more information about what we're talking about today on Q&A Tuesday. Get a pen and paper ready. We'll give those websites to you one more time after we take this little break. Our number, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access. Go to kdkradio.com. Also, on my Facebook page, you can see a picture of Kim in action right here in the studio of KDKA. Mike at Penn Hills on KDKA.
Hello. You guys there?
Yes.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, I got a quick question going back to the hunting with concealed carry permit. I thought in the hunting regulations that weapon had to be suitable for hunting, meaning you couldn't carry a semi-automatic pistol with you out in the woods. It had to be a revolver. Is that true? I'll hang up and let you answer that.
When you're carrying a licensed concealed carry firearm, you don't have to have a firearm on you that is suitable to only hunting. You can have one that would be both, but you cannot use a firearm like a semi-automatic handgun to harvest a game. You have to use whatever is legal for that game to hunt with. That does not mean if you're carrying one that you can use anything that you have on your person.
Who's going to be shooting deer with a 9mm Glock? Are there people who would actually do that?
I would say that considering the wide range of dispersity in our civilization,
There's
somebody that might try it.
All right, here's a question on Dollar Bank Instant Access from Al. For someone considering purchasing a handgun for the first time, where is the best place to receive proper training on the education and use of that handgun? Also, what is the process for gaining concealed handgun permit, as well as the cost and time frame for obtaining it?
Okay, the best place to receive training, depending on where you live, could be a sportsman's club. You can find a variety of clubs on the Allegheny County Sportsman's League website that provide that training. I also belong to an organization that we help create called SAFE, Shooters Active and Firearms Education. You can find that on the net at safe-tee.net. We go out to various clubs and put on training at a wide variety of places on different levels of firearms training as well. That's NRA certified training as well as more comprehensive training.
Okay, and on the subject of the concealed permit.
The concealed carry permit is a very specific process covered under Section 6109 of Title 18. You have to go down with two forms of ID, at least one of them being picture ID. You can, most sheriffs will allow you to provide that by email of some kind to save you the trip down. Some will process the permit immediately. You will have to pay $25, the costs of which encompass a $19 original charge, $1 fee for the 24/7 verification line run by the state police, and a $5 equipment fee. And you will have to be a person in good standing within your county or within the state. You cannot have any type of crime on your background. There is a more comprehensive list of qualifications. I mentioned it earlier, character and reputation clause.
How long is the permit good for?
Permit's good for 5 years.
Oh, okay. I was.
And there's a 60 or 6 month window where you can still legally possess a concealed firearm. It's a moratorium on that, so you don't automatically become a criminal.
Oh, if you forget.
Right, because the way the old law was, you were a criminal, you lost your rights forever.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I think this is a misunderstanding, too. A lot of people think that you have to have some sort of a license to buy the gun and to possess the gun. You do not. You go through a background check on the spot at the gun shop where you're purchasing the firearm, if it's a handgun, and you can possess that firearm. You just can't legally carry it concealed unless you have the permit.
That's correct.
That's the only permit that you need, actually.
Right. Okay. Now, there's also a misconception about carrying openly. You can only carry openly anywhere you walk. That doesn't mean you can transport the firearm in your car somewhere outside the narrow parameters of Pennsylvania law and then put it on openly and walk around. Pennsylvania law only allows you to transport a firearm one of four places, from your home to a range and back, from your home to a gun dealer and back, from your home to a recreation home and back, or from your home to a gun turn-in point, and not these silly gun buybacks.
Okay. And we're out of time. This goes so fast. You've got to come back. We'll have you back, you know, in a few months and for Q&A Tuesday. Kim Stauffer, and of course, we'll probably talk to you in between then about news items regarding gun issues.
Well, let's not forget our big rally we have coming up on May 10th next week.
Okay.
We've got a big Second Amendment rally in Harrisburg.
Okay.
If you want to come and see how we actually approach legislators and learn how to talk to them, possibly win a firearm. We give a firearm away and meet the policymakers. Come on to Harrisburg. Starts at 10 a.m. We'll show you how we do business.
All right. Kim Stauffer, thanks very much for joining us. FOAC-PAC.org.